Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, Google. Come on, outside these. Come on, Google.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings. Woo! How's everyone doing? I'm your host and co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Happy Wednesday, Wisdom Wednesday. It's great to connect with everyone. It's always here. So chat's getting up. We had, I can't think of what the tech name is, but when they overload the server so that you can't log in, I've been trying to log in for the last half an hour. So I knew something was up. So anyway, got in at the last little bit here. So getting all logged in. So the chat is open. Welcome everyone listening via phone and, of course, via BTR archives. And if you do have a question or comment, that number is 347-539-5122 and press 1 on your keypad to get on air. Hi, Denise. Welcome from Australia, from down under. Welcome, guests. And welcome everyone listening via the phone. If you do have a question or comment, please press 1 on your keypad and let me know that that lets me know that you want to get on air, okay? All righty. So I don't know if other people have been having some computer stuff. It's more than retrograde, and my guess is because of the inauguration. So and other such things that are going on. And I always want to tell hackers, it's like, hey, listen, you guys, you're not just you're ruining it for the little people, the little people. Want to let everybody know also that if you ever have questions, comments, guest suggestions, topic suggestions, you can always email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. That's awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. And with your comments or suggestions, you know, what you'd like to hear, or, you know, email questions as well. I love answering them. And love when people call in, too. In fact, we're going to be doing a whole program devoted to questions and readings sometime in February. I think it's the beginning of February, so we'll see. Also, I'm doing my teleworkshops again, Soul Path teleworkshops, and we have one this Saturday. If you're interested, you can email me or go to Eventbrite. I don't have the link handy, but this one will be on resonance repatterning and meditation and chakra alignment. So I like to keep these little tune-ups in. And then we do start our first level soul entrepreneurship program is Saturday, January 28th. That's this month too. So if you're interested in that, you can email also awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or Michelle. I think that's probably the best. Yeah, just let's keep it simple. Awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. And not able to kind of put that link in for the, but if anybody in the chat has that link for the Eventbrite, do put it in, please. Do put it in. So we have today, we have a great program. We have Phil Bosta joining us and a very prolific writer. And he's wrote an amazing essay called Choose Love at Every Moment. He's also the author of God's Eyes. That's his recent book. And we're going to talk about living a spiritual life and a bit about surrender, which I'm going to be doing a whole focus, by the way, in February on that, the idea of what it exactly is surrender. And the acceptance of what is, because we really can't make changes until we accept what is. So a lot of people think that change happens by resistance, and it doesn't. Resistance takes a lot of energy, a lot of energy. So there's a time, I would say, right, there's a time that you have right action. See, psychologically, when we're changing or when something new, a new influence comes in, the ego always wants to resist it. So resistance doesn't always mean you're on the right path or track. And Denise is putting, it's exhausting. Yes, resistance is exhausting. It is so exhausting. And it takes a lot of energy. And I've actually talked to people that have been in like concentration camps, internment camps. And to survive, they didn't resist. They accepted what was. They made changes where they could. But they said their empowerment was accepting this is the situation. So, Denise, I love what you're saying because, whew, took a while to get into the chat. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tamara, I think we've had some little hacky-hacky server overload on demand or whatever it's called. I can't think of the technical term. But because I tried by phone, I tried computer, and it took me 30 minutes. And then I called Sadie, my producer, and we chatted, and the intention, and it broke through. And I just really wish people, when they did that, you know, little hackers, that you're not really, you know, there's got to be a better way. If you're angry at the system, angry at what's going on, figure out a different way, because you actually hurt the people that you think that are, like, championing for freedom of speech and progressive thinking and creating a new paradigm and playing a bigger game, you know, a more interesting, unique game. So let's see. Denise is saying, I'm trying to call in with Skype, but it says offline. Yeah, there's just some stuff going on with jamming the servers at this point. So we had a little bit of a break, so we got to connect in. You can call in by phone. That's one thing they did. But you know, I wasn't able to call in by cell phone. So that was getting, but to log in, you can call in, but to log in, because that requires you go through a server. I love it, Denise. Go have a break, hackers. Go and have a 6 month tea party. Yes, 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 yes. Absolutely. Anyway, yes, yeah, so if you have questions or comments about the Soul Entrepreneurship Program, just give me a little email, awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. And I have a visioning teleworkshop coming up in February, and we'll be meeting monthly. And then a second level, advanced level of the Soul Entrepreneurship Program, which, by the way, Soul Entrepreneurship, it's not only built on business. It's really about living a soul-connected and soul-expressed life abundantly. So it's learning about your soul's purpose, what that is, and how to manifest that, how to live that, how to connect with that no matter what you're doing. So it's not just about career in business. It's really about lifestyle, though it does encompass the business aspect, the social media aspect, the aspect of being a startup, however you term that, and looking at abundance and prosperity and looking at your gifts and the resources that you have, that you are a resource. But it's also really about the lifestyle. It's a different living soul-centered is really a different, you know, it is a different lifestyle. You make different choices when you're living soul-connected. It's interesting. I never really realized that because I live that. I live that since such a small age. It's only in retrospect when I look back, I see how my decisions were spirit-led or soul-connected, infused by my soul, following that uniqueness. And when we follow that thread, everyone, there's a thread. There's a thread in our life that shows us where we're going, where we came from. And so no matter what you're doing, I mean, I would have people asking me, you know, when I modeled and acted, why are you doing that? I mean, when you're also a healer, you're a psychic channel or a medium. And I said, because it's all part of, because I, no matter what I'm doing, when I had a talk show on fashion and beauty, I was still doing my soul's purpose because it was the type of questions I was asking. So our soul's purpose is not always what, it's not what we're doing. It's how we're doing it, how we live our life. And so I really dive into that a lot. I was asked to, Yoshi, I'm not here with Yoshi, to do another program, to continue it, to share, you know, because a lot of people, you know, especially now in this new age that we're all co-creating, this new paradigm, is the call to live more soul-centered, and it is a very different way of living. It requires a very different set of skills that you do have within you, but that are not formulated or talked about in the mainstream world or mainstream consciousness. We don't get that insight or that information on a mainstream level. And so that's part of my purpose, my gift, my passion too, you guys, you know that, is bringing this awareness, bringing the information, the understanding to how do you tap into that soul map. That's one of the things we're doing in the dance group is soul mapping. And I'm also doing some curriculum building for those people that are wanting to do their own courses. And that starts in February. February 11th is the curriculum portion. But I really want to share not only what's worked for me and the people that I've worked with, but what I've been seeing that's worked. And also you get the information psychically, you get the information from the guides. You get the information to help you individually on your path by me being able to tune in for you. So anyway, I'm kind of excited about it, as you can tell. And I did promise I will share more of what I have going on. Thanks for the nudges for that, the emails where people say, God, you know, I didn't know this was going on. Why don't you talk about this on Awakenings? So, and if you do want to keep more in the loop, just email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com and let me know that, that, you know, you want to be, and then, you know, get the, I don't know if it's really a newsletter, but you want to get the information, you want to get the newsletter, you want to be kept in the loop. And, yeah, hopefully everybody, looks like more people getting in the chat. Hey, everybody. Oh, Nebraska crystal bowls. It's chilly there. It's been a little chilly in L.A. as well. Okay, Divine Miss, turn off the computer sound, listening by phone if you're moving around. Okay. All right, everybody, let's get to callers. And if you did have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your keypad. And I did have email questions. I will get to those if we have time today. Otherwise, I've got some great ones. Gosh, I've got some really great topic suggestions. And some of them, Archer from Archer, who's another great listener, part of our community, some very insightful stuff. And I want to thank all of you, too, that do email your questions in or that you call in. It really, and all of you that hold the sacred space in the chat room and offer your, you know, energy, your energy, your input, your insight as well as letting me know, you know, how's the sound, etc. But I do really, really appreciate all of you, each person that is co-creating this amazing community, because that's really what we have here. That's what's going on. It's a multidimensional, international community. And yeah. All right. So let us get to callers again, 347-539-5122. And we'll have Phil coming on a little bit later. All righty. Let's get 323-638. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. It's me, Zelda.
Hey, Zelda. Welcome. Good to hear from you.
Hey, thank you. I have a question about, like, a few days ago, I met someone who had the creepiest energy I can remember in a long time, and I was wondering if this person's soul is checked out because his energy felt icy, and it felt like he had a wall around his heart, or that he wasn't very present. I was just wondering what was going on there. that I was picking up, because it repelled my roommate, I mean my floor mate also.
Yeah. Yeah, now, you know, really good that you asked that question. And we don't always see that a lot, but, you know, I like to watch my little, like, crime shows. You know, I like the psychological aspect. Murder made me do it. Why did somebody do this? But you can usually see a glaze over people's eyes, and or some people say darkness. That's why they say that, you know, the eyes are the windows of the soul, right? So, yes, yeah. Here's the thing. Not everybody is connected to their soul or connected enough to their soul. And I've actually done work with shamanically soul retrieval work. I've actually, years ago, I think I told this story a long time ago, but at one point, somebody that I had worked with, a very, very, very wealthy individual, and was dying. And when I went to do, and you did the, some of you have done the pranic healing workshop with me. It's the same technique. And the bioenergy alignment, you can use it also to connect people to their soul, because it's all subtle energy, right? It's all energy. It's all wavelength and, you know, vibration, congealing. And so when I found him, he was, and this person was, had a nice side, but kind of Machiavellian side as well. And the coldness that in the upper chakras, and he was just not connected, very little thread to the soul. And actually the soul was like, he was moved over, it wasn't aligned. And when I did the healing work, so got back in alignment, somewhat to the soul, but there was a lot of wounding, so that stops that soul connection. And but he did heal, and he didn't die, but he literally was dying. They had doctors at his house, and so yes, it is possible not to be connected to your soul. And or it's in the how do I want to say, it's like a power source, like a generator or something, right? If you're, you know, there can be something disrupting our electricity, right, or disrupting the generator, the big generator, you know, in the sky, so to speak. And so when you're not in alignment, or there's a lot of wounding that covers that, that overlays the soul connection, it blocks it. Some people come in soulless or not as connected to the soul. So yes, and you'll feel it. You'll feel, that's the thing, especially as you, children and animal beings feel this. That's why a lot of times certain, I guess kind of macabre, but it's a part of our life. There's certain types of people that are so demented, they cannot be around animals, and animals can't be around them. They'll growl or they'll shy away from them, right? Or children as well. We've been trained to kind of be nicey-nice to everybody. Now, on the big scheme of things, why is this happening? It's a deep level of wounding. But as we know, sometimes people can be so wounded that they do behavior that is really scary, you know, scary to criminal, you know. That's where we get rapists, serial killers. I mean, none of those people are not, you know, wounded. They're all wounded. They've all come from some form of wounding, let alone perhaps some type of energetic misconfiguration. But there's always something that has happened within the environment, you know, and you know, research has shown that. And of course, some people say it's chemical and. But usually there's some form of wounding. So, yeah, you were probably picking up on that. Also, sometimes some of these people, they're so not aligned that there are lower-level entities coming through them. That, you know, this is why, you know, sometimes people on the show will ask me about, you know, use of, you know, anything, pot or certain drugs, you know, and in my, back in the day, my experimentation, you know, many, many, so many moons ago, teenager actually, but, you know, we don't know, because some people can do certain things and nothing happens, and then other people are more porous and something happens. But I can tell you, and having done a lot of readings, like in bars. And again, it's not having a couple drinks here and there, getting tipsy or whatever. It's sometimes chronic use of stuff where you're not staying in your body. You're leaving your body. And I can tell you countless, numerous stories of situations of this where somebody else has come in and into the body. I mean, the body is a vehicle. This is what I do when I channel. I'm allowing energies to come through, but I'm able to, you know, I still have enough consciousness or presence, you know, of who's coming in. That's why shamanically, if you're working with a good shaman or spiritual teacher, they will have you do things that strengthen your sense of self, your connection to, you know, your higher self, if you will, or that aspect of your soul. And early work that I did, all of it was ego. All of it was healing the ego, healing and having that just strong connection to, you know, God, the all that is, that there's only one source, oneness, and nothing else. Everything else doesn't exist. So kind of what you asked too, Zelda, opens the question that it's also a lot is about is about vibrational frequency, but it's also, you know, beliefs when we get into the idea of, that's why I use the word demented rather than demonic, because demonic puts us into duality, right? But there's definitely people that are demented. People may call that evil, you know, which evil could be used as like a misuse of power, you know, or power over, feeling underpowered or overpowered by someone else due to wounding. This is why emotional clearing is so important, because you really cannot connect into your soul when there is a lot of heavy duty wounding. It blocks it. What happens is there's a constructed ego that is created to fare well in the original environment, whether it's family of origin or institution, you know, setting. There's something constructed to get along, and that construction blocks the natural impulses and insight and intuition and God connection, if you want to put it that way. So yes, it is possible, and you can feel the incongruency of what someone is saying as to what they're actually doing. And usually it's a higher level of wounding or a deeper level of wounding. That they're so wounded that you're getting a lot of incongruent energy, a lot of dissonance, and incongruent messaging of what they're thinking or what their motivations are or how they're interpreting the situation. So it's really a high level of incongruency or a higher level of dissonance that is very disruptive or jarring to our mind-body system, because we're all just energy anyway, right? So we're picking up all this incongruence. I think that's the best way to say it without getting into duality on it. Does that help?
Yeah, it's given me, I have to sit with it, because it's like, it's just like the energy was so disconcerting to me that it just, I agree. It resonates like with what you said about picking up incongruence, because it just was so incongruent. I was like, wow, this is really wild in a way that I've never experienced before.
Yes, and what we have to remember is we are patterns. That's what fractals are. We are patterns of energy. That's what creates form. And when the pattern is so incongruent that we don't, what it is we, something else is going on than what we should be feeling in a healthier or more congruent situation or more coherent. So there's an unpredictability there. So a little bit of unpredictability is great. You might get two roses on one stem, you know what I mean? Or you might get an interesting new pattern, you know, I'm liking it to roses. But, you know, if all of a sudden you had an orange pop up out the rose tree, you'd be a little, ooh, you know, or the rose might be interesting, might be okay. So yes, and the best thing to do is to, you know, opening doors and windows helps, you know, say lavender always lemongrass as well helps, and you can mix it with sage as well. But the best thing that you can do is feel, understand what you felt, and acknowledge it, and then see that person as wounded, kind of to bump out of the emotional part that's kind of connecting to the your own emotional wounding.
Okay.
See them as connected to source, but not, but somehow not living that connection on this plane or this dimension. And and that's what helps you understand that, wow, this, this, that person is very, that's deep, deep wounding. You know, it's, it, it, to name it, you know, to name what it is. Now again, to name what's going on, you know, it's, Crystal Bowles Gretton is asking in the chat, when Michelle's talking about, I see the deep, the word rolfing. Does anyone know what that is? Oh yes. And I've had that as well. Denise has put, moving, rolfing, getting stuff out of the body. It's a deep, deeper tissue work. I think it was from Ida Wolf, Rolf. Yeah, but there's a lot of that, and you probably, sometimes you can locate those people. You can and what I'm saying is locate them, because we're not our body, right? The body is an extension of us. It's an aspect of us, but it is to some degree also a vehicle. So somebody else or something else can be housing that. So sometimes you are able to locate somebody with non, neutral or non-threatening words, or words that bring people into that present moment. Sometimes you can, and sometimes you can't locate them. That's why we say somebody, that person is soulless, you know, they're not connected, and it's profound, deep wounding. I'll tell a story really quickly with a client that I had years ago, probably in the mid to late 90s. And he lived with his boyfriend at the time, and he had been, was into kind of health, fitness, you know, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but yoga and that kind of stuff, was a healer, but found that he started doing cocaine, and his roommate really got into the cocaine. And really got into the cocaine. And he also started drinking a lot, and he started having suicidal thoughts. And when I went to do the clearing, which I can also do distance, I've done cases distance, I tuned into the home, and I found out that there had been a woman. I just channeled the information. She was there that had committed suicide there, that had been an alcoholic and had been using pills. And that had been married to a doctor. They were very wealthy, and he had been into cocaine, and that there was some trauma or something. Somehow he left, so I did work on both of them, the healing work, and find out the corresponding link, because there's always some correspondence. There has to be some resonance, or that we don't attract the situation at all. But it can be a minute resonance. I mean, we're all interconnected. Everything is interconnected. So some of it. Sometimes within the resonance, there's also a randomness, right?
Yeah.
So did intense healing work on the two of them, and did, you know, the energy work, the clearing work on the walk up townhouse, and they later talked to the landlord and found out that indeed a woman had lived there, and she had been married for a long period of time, but they lived there for a short period of time. The husband was a doctor and had left her and ended up divorcing. And she spiraled into drugs and alcohol and committed suicide in that place. But why did this energy enter into them and start influencing them? Because that's what spirits do. They have to work through a certain electromagnetic frequency or configuration that is of a certain level, which happens to be, you know, electronic devices have that frequency as well as people, human beings. Well, they had some wounding. There was some opening there. And but once we did the work, it was gone. Yeah, so there was some opening. But so sometimes you know, it, there's opening. And sometimes it's just the reflection just to show us that this does exist, you know?
Yeah. I kind of feel like that was the case for what I experienced, kind of like, because it's like all my interactions with people had been pretty smooth, and then I encountered that, and I was like, oh, this exists. It just threw me off because it was just so radically different from what I was experiencing before.
Yeah. It's interesting when you feel it. I felt years ago I had a situation, and actually was an extended family member, and they were so nice all the time, but I kept getting these cramping, this tightness in my stomach. And I didn't quite know what that was, you know, and I was like, that's weird. But I just noticed it, and then one of my mentors, esoteric mentors and spiritual teachers, said, that's your gut telling you something is off there, it's incongruent, and you will know what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's saying, you know, be aware. Don't get too close. Be aware. And about 6 months later, boom, the situation arose, and I went, ooh, that's their true nature. Their true nature came out, which was very, you know, some form of mental illness with some little pill popping there, you know, to make it a little extra special. But, yeah, they had a very nasty, that icky, nasty side, a lot of emotional manipulation, a lot of stuff came out that I – didn't get totally, I got a little roped in, but because I'd had that feeling, I kind of, you know, took pause. And sometimes that feeling just means wait, new facts are needed, stop, something's going on. Sometimes we feel it when people are just, they're going through something. But what you're talking about, there's something going on in that individual, such a profound healing, that there's so much dissonance, so much incongruence, that's what's happening. And it's, you know, of a mental, emotional nature. All right, Zelda. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I just wanted to spend a little extra time on that because I had actually a few emails on that kind of situation and some other ones about souls and spirits and people being possessed or taken over, or where does schizophrenia or mental illness come in? And so I'll address that at a later date. Let us get to 267-285. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great now that I'm on the show with all of you. I kept my cool, though.
Oh. What's your first name?
I was listening for it. This is Kathy.
Oh, hey, Kathy. Oh, welcome.
Hey.
Yeah, where you? I was about ready to type on the Awakenings page on Facebook due to technical difficulties, hacking, overloading the server. We will, you know.
Yes, I heard you. I was like, hacking? Who hacked? What's going on?
Yeah.
But I think you're right when you said about the Trump inauguration, but that's like a whole other topic in itself, right?
Yeah. There's been a lot of stuff going on with computers, you know, whoever we want, is it Russia, is it here, is it individual? There's been a lot of technical lag, yeah. And expect more. People are acting out.
Yes.
Anyway, Kathy,
yes. And
so,
I've been experiencing it a lot, especially with work and everything. And I thought it was Mercury retrograde, but I'm like, this is kind of long. I thought
some of it has had a different feel than just regular Mercury retrograde stuff. And
Good
to hear your voice. Good to connect with you today. And what's your question?
Same here. My question is, it's a question regarding family. I've been having a little bit of issues with, I would say issues, but I'm finding that there are some issues going on with my brother, and I'm finding that most of the time I'm the person that my family goes to help him. it's usually financially.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I don't understand why I'm always, huh?
Stop that.
Stop it.
Stop doing that. Also, Tamara is saying hi, Kathy, in the chat.
Hi, Tamara.
Okay, I get where you're. I get where you're going. You know why? Because you're, you know, and this is the time for this. This is kind of even what I was talking about with Zelda. We all hold a polarity. We hold a dominant energy pattern. That unless you do that, you know, I do this kind of work. There's other practitioners of this kind of work, you know, healing work. After a certain point, you can do it yourself. If you start doing my 5-step emotional clearing process, the CD,
mm-hmm.
and do that, and the perception projection, you will heal this kind of situation. You're holding a polarity. You're holding a frequency of energy. You're holding a role, and they're holding the other. And until you let go of what you're holding, they're going to keep coming to you, asking for help, and not get empowered. You see, you're the responsible one. So, see, it psychologically, their roles are archetypes. And when we hold that role, you know, we're the healer, we're the mediator. Everywhere we go, there it is, because we're operating at that frequency. So you just have to say no. Because you're not going to help them and empower them, and you're not going to help and empower yourself. And so we're meant to have roles. That's how we express. You know, I'm a sister, I'm a mother, I'm a host. You know, I'm a daughter, I'm a bit, you know, I'm a reader, I do this. They're just ways of expressing energy. But when you hold one to the exclusion of other ones or overly dominant, then you attract continually. Sometimes you want to pull your hair out. You attract the opposite pole.
Yeah.
You do not. You rarely see. Sometimes you see two slouchies together. But usually, there'll be somebody more responsible in the relationship. And see, that can work when you have bring consciousness to it. That's what relationship is all about. We're swapping energy. So in other words, I may be like my people that I work with. I am so big picture. I will never get anything done. I work with people.
Okay.
Yeah, I work. You know, I'll get some things done because I have a little bit of the step by step. I have a little bit of the Virgo energy, but I work with people that are more step by step, detail oriented process. And they'll go, "Oh, Michelle, you don't have to write, you know, a whole long email to them. It could be just two lines. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, we do these steps first. You know. Oh, okay.
Right.
You know.
Right."
So I bring consciousness to it, so I learn from it and I integrate that energy, you know, plus I've done a lot of inner work and stuff. So that's a simplistic example, but it's very relevant because that's the same thing. We, you know, a lot of times people, maybe they're not so good with their finances, so they get somebody that's a lot more, that's better or more organized, or somebody that's not open enough emotionally, they get with somebody that's more emotional. Now, the thing is you're not supposed to just stay there and go, oh, they handle the emotions and I handle the finance. No, you're supposed to learn from each other.
Learn. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. But the best
learning is by example. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the part that's missing, because I feel that it's very uneven where, you know, no one comes to me and checks on me and see if I'm okay. But the only time I hear from them is when they need something. You know, and if I say that, then I'm wrong, you know.
Don't say it, because it's up to you. You're the one with the awareness. You're the one calling in on the program, you know.
Okay.
You can't say anything. You have to show them, and sometimes it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
Yes. Yes, but what it is you have to don't always be available, and you have to insert yourself. I'll give a quick example, then I'm going to move to the next caller because I want to make sure we get to Denise. Are you still holding on Skype, or you disappeared, Denise? I don't see you, the Skype number anymore. Are you on? Oh, I don't see the Skype. Is it a 661? Well, press 1 if you can, because now the other Skype number is gone. Anyway, years ago, because I obviously with the work that I do, I had that role very well done from age 4 in my family, you know, and especially being psychic,
mm-hmm.
you know. And my parents said, oh, God, she's so smart, precocious. Oh, she's so wise, you know. And so I was helping everybody with their problems. And especially my wonderful younger brother, who came out very healthy because of my influence, I can say. But the same thing, never really asked how I was doing. It was always about his problems. And then, you know, this was like 20 years ago in my inner work and therapy, I saw what was going on, and so did my mentor at the time and therapist. So I just switched it around, and I would just start saying, well, I'm sure you can handle that. You know, you're very capable. And he'd be like, what? And I go, yeah, no. Because he wouldn't listen anyway to my advice, because they don't really want advice. Those people don't want to get better that they're coming
they
to Kathy.
They just want to dump.
Yes. Yeah, they just want to dump. Because, but it's our fault. It's us. It's us. So,
right, and that's what
I
hear all the time.
Yeah. So then I would insert myself, and I'd say, oh, I'm really going through this or that. So I started making myself more real and saying what I need, or I'm going through a bad day. Really? What? Yeah. And then I'd make him listen. I would find it in the end. Or if he started dumping, I'd say, oh, I got to go, you know, but you'll work it out. You're very capable. You know, you're intelligent, you know, whatever. And I would just drop. And then one day he says to me, you're not really giving me advice like you used to. And I said, nah, because you didn't listen. Anyway, and we laughed. And I said, you're just calling me to dump. I go, you could write in a journal or do a voice note on that. I said, but I love you still. And now he's been able to give me advice. I've actually called. Sometimes when this first started happening, I used to force myself, ask him his opinion. Just, you know, to just, you've got to change this polarity. You know, otherwise it's just exhausting. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you to do that. Stop with the money. Just you're so capable. You're so talented. You'll make it happen. You know, you're on the grind too, dude. You'll make it happen. But it's up to you to stop holding that polarity so strongly that this is the only way you can fit in.
And
will
that
comfort
guilt go away eventually?
Well, that eventually, but the guilt. Well, here's the thing. Guilt is actually not a human emotion. Remorse is. Feeling bad or sorry you did something. Guilt is something that other people have put on us to control us, and then we end up taking that on. And guilt starts with a look. Yeah. We feel guilty. Why do we feel guilty? Because we're doing something that we need to do, and we feel bad about it because we know the other person doesn't like it and is either going to make our life miserable for it, or they're going to act like a victim martyr about it. And so we don't want to feel the uncomfortable feeling of asserting ourselves, so it's used to control ourselves. Look, here's the thing. Even in the justice system, it's the jurors and or the judge that says we're guilty.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It comes from outside.
Yes.
Guilt is imposed upon us. So ask yourself, am I remorseful? Am I guilty? Because if you're feeling guilty, it's an emotional manipulation by the people around you or the part of yourself that doesn't want to have the challenging experience or consequence from you doing what's healthy and right for you.
Got it.
See, we can guilt ourselves too. We can guilt ourselves too, but that's right. You see what I'm saying? But again, guilt is not. It's a way of controlling the behavior.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the love.
Oh, Dream Master. I love you. I do. I've been there, and that's the only way. It's the tough way. It doesn't work any. You know, you'll find other ways, but you got to kind of go cold turkey.
Yes.
All right, Kathy. Much peace.
All right.
Okay, waiting for our guest to call. Dream Master had a good feeling guilty for the action from our decision we made. Yes. Crystal Bowls Gretna saying, I agree, Tamara. Price of being a people pleaser. Tamara saying the price of nice, quote unquote. Yes. And the healthy response that putting your hand up and saying, talk to the hand. Energetically talk to the hand. I guess you would say it's coming from, after a while, the people pleaser gets mad because what's happening, you keep doing this behavior, and I've been there, and sometimes I still do it to some degree, and you expect a different result. Won't they see how much I'm doing for them and appreciate it? No, because if they did, they would have done that already. So three masters putting called, taking responsibility for our actions, being authentic with no resentment. Yeah, sometimes we have to go through the uncomfortable part of what our being true to ourselves and being healthy and being what's healthy for the other person, what's empowering for them, sometimes brings, you know, uncomfortable consequences. All right, 917-723, welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle, it's Tasha. How are you?
Hey, Tasha, welcome to the program. I'm doing great.
Thank you. I just have two questions in reference to my life. One is employment, and then the second is there's someone that started talking to me, and I just wanted to know if you feel anything on him.
Okay, let's see. Well, first of all, very new. I feel a lot of confusion around it, so I don't know, is that confusion from you or just in general with where you are right now or about the situation?
Okay. It's everything.
What's good? Everything. Okay. Well, it's saying keep it light and enjoy the company. I see kind of a playful, there seems to be a playfulness and a lightness to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would say probably time of Aries, April, May, I would say for you with the employment. And it's going to be something where you're stretching out either more on your own or to another place. Now, I don't know, it could be in addition to what you're doing now, but I feel like it's something that you actually find on your own, and it is showing more around April, May, probably could be March, but end of March. It's definitely when the weather is warmer. Actually, they're correcting me. The guys are saying more April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Something
thank
you'll
you.
Be coming in. You're welcome. Peace. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello, I'm here. I do Skype caller, Denise. Hey. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. I don't know what number it shows up. Yeah.
661-748. There's another one, so that might
be
our guest. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just had a quick question. If anything comes up for you around my husband, Philip, and work.
Okay. Now, was he working for himself? I feel self-employment.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And is he wanting to continue that? Because...
No.
He wants to get another job.
Or, yeah.
A team or something. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems... See, I feel like there could be some stuff... I don't know if it would be contract work or part-time. It feels like there could be... Maybe it's odd jobs or something that seems to be temporary. And then I would say May, maybe more likely June, there seems to be something more concrete and stable coming in. But before that, I don't know if it's contract work, freelance, odd jobs. There seems to be some other stuff coming in around. And then I would say June on, there's something more stable. So he will be getting work.
Okay.
He might have to drive a bit for it is what I'm feeling. I feel like there's a long drive, a lot of space. But I do see work coming up for him. All right, great to hear from you.
Okay, cool.
Love to hear your
voice. Lovely to call in. I'm loving the show. Thank you.
All right, lots of love and light. Okay, so we've got one
you
quick
too.
Question.
Bye.
And hi, let's see in the chat. What keeps any of us from quitting our day jobs to follow spirit and our hearts? Fear of the unknown. What more, please? Yes, fear of the unknown is one thing, but sometimes it's not about quitting our day jobs. That's something that I kind of talk about in my soul entrepreneurship program. Sometimes it's doing addition to the day job or the extra job. Maybe that's our base. And again, you know, sometimes spirit has us be in a certain job or position because our energy, our light is needed there. if it's something that you really want to move on from, there's some subconscious patterning that's holding back. And that's where, again, deeper inner work, healing work, resonance repatterning can be helpful. Working with a coach, a therapist, a hypnotherapist, somebody that can get to the root cause of that fear, but also to set up the steps to how do you transition into something different, you know? So, and again, it comes from knowing ourselves. Sometimes, you know, we're meant to be where we are and do so, and again, do something in addition to, but again, it's knowing that, is that where we're meant to be, or is it something within us that's holding us back? Really good questions from everybody. I really appreciate everybody that's called in. Please stay hanging out with us because we have Phil Bolsa with us, and amazing, very prolific writer. Recent book is God's Eyes, the book. And he wrote a fabulous, as I was saying at the top of the program, essay called Choose Love in Every Moment. And we're going to be talking to a bit about him, about his first awakening and succession of awakenings, and as well as what's brought him to the work that he's doing now. Want to welcome him to the program. Phil, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hey, Phil, welcome. Welcome. How are you?
It's great to be here.
Yes, great to have you here. You wrote, yes, I want to talk about, you have such, everybody in the chat saying, welcome, Phil, great to have you here. You are such a prolific writer about God, spirit, connecting to one's spiritual path. I believe you write a lot on love, forgiveness. What was your first call or awakening to writing this way, and when I say extending out to people to help them on their path?
Well, just like you and so many others, I wanted to be of service to others, and the best way to do that is to model the right way of living with, as you said, love, forgiveness, etc. And so I didn't have one specific instance that forced me to change my way of thinking. I just started reading about spirituality, and when I first became interested in that, I went looking for a book that laid out all the spiritual principles I was learning in a logical, organized, and engaging way, and I assumed there had to be at least one book that explained how all of those principles interact, how to weave them together into a cohesive worldview, how to apply that wisdom to daily life. And I couldn't find a book like that. And I remember thinking, well, I guess I have to write it myself someday. And I was just determined that all of that knowledge and wisdom should be gathered together in one easy-to-follow book so others wouldn't have to go on a giant spiritual scavenger hunt and piece it all together on their own like I had to. So that's how I came to write Through God's Eyes. It took about 14 years later.
Mm-hmm. And it is true that I think now more than ever we need something is needed that does lay things out like Through God's Eyes does, which I love the subtitle too, Finding Peace and Purpose in a Troubled World. I mean, could it even be more timely? I mean, I think people, in fact, even on this program, I get a lot of questions, you know, do you know any books or what lays this out or what's really going on? People saying they feel spiritually lost or, you know, I feel disconnected from my soul. I feel like I'm not living authentically. And I think because there has been so much change, you know, in the world and uncertainty and unknown, because we are in this great shift, it has people kind of floating along, right? Wanting to know what to hold on to, I guess. Did you find that, Phil?
Yes, it's a time of uncertainty. I really like what one reviewer said about Through God's Eyes. He said, this is the owner's manual that God should give you when you're born. And that's what my intention of it was to be. And that people can look it up at godseyesbook.com. And if I had to sum up the core teaching of this ancient wisdom of Through God's Eyes in one sentence, it would be, with love and devotion, align your will mm-hmm. with divine will, and be a source of love, mm-hmm. hope, and healing energy to all who cross your path.
Mm. Wow. That's can be for some a tall order when things are like you, and you say in a finding peace and purpose in a troubled world when there's trouble. How can one do that on a daily basis? Like we had a question in the chat about, you know, someone wanting to follow their spirit of where they want to go, but they feel locked in this job. And where can one start, Phil? Where does one start?
Well, it all boils down to one word, which is the cornerstone of a spiritual life, and that's
okay.
surrender. If mm. you are just fighting on your own and trying to make all the decisions for your life on your own, you're swimming really against the current. Life is hard. But mm-hmm. when you surrender, and you can surrender to God, to the universe, to life, to love, whatever you wish to call it, then you start swimming with the current and life gets easier. I mean, I can tell you from my own experience that this is true. And surrender raises a red flag for people who believe that their life will unravel unless they stay on top of every last detail as only they can. But it just doesn't work that way. Surrender in faith and trust, and life just becomes far smoother and more easier. Yeah. And what surrender really comes down to is you're trusting that God has a better plan for your life than you do.
Yes.
And that omniscient spirit sees far beyond the finite vision of your ego.
Yeah. It's interesting, Phil. Someone just put in the chat, Denise just put in the chat, surrender, you started the show with that word, Michelle. Yeah, the shows are always divinely guided. You know, that's always in sync.
Yeah.
You know, they're always in sync, right? I really have nothing to do with it. Just kind of show up. But I've been contemplating this a lot, Phil, and that surrender is that surrendering to what is instead of this fighting that we've kind of all been taught to do on an ego level, you know? And to me, in that non-resistance is that exactly what you said, that we are being guided. And I love what you
yes.
said, faith and trust. And why do you think it is so hard that words, and you're right, the surrender, that people really don't like that word. You know, most people, why do you want me to surrender? Or they think you're saying to give up, that you're giving up your power somehow. I've heard that as well. Or if you don't resist, that means you like something. You know, you're surrendering, you're saying that, it's okay, whatever's happening. You're giving in somehow.
Right. It's surrendering to divine will does not mean that
okay.
you're sacrificing your free will or diminishing your capacity to reason and act. What you're saying
mm-hmm.
is, and this is crucial, is that you mm-hmm. are living everything you think, say, and do. You are thinking, saying, and do to please God. You're pleasing God in everything you do. And when you do that, you free yourself from the tyranny of your ego, which automatically frees you from everyday fears and worries and doubts. And instead of trying to please other people, if you only seek to please God, then you have pure intentions. You can accept the consequences of your actions, knowing that if God is pleased, you have all your other need, even if the world takes everything else from you. And one day you notice that you're in this world, but not of it. And the things that once caused you pain can no longer touch you. When you start living from that place, from that space of trusting that God knows better than you do, and that you greet everything in your life with three words, as you wish. And you look for the gift in everything that comes to you. Whatever comes to your door, you think, what is the lesson here? What is the gift? What positive thing can I take away from this? that is such a complete shift in your mindset and perspective.
Mm.
Everything changes. Everything changes.
Mm.
And I do have, if you want me to talk about that in relation to fear and love, I can give you an example of that.
Yes. Yes, I would love, yes, absolutely, because we've had some people in the chat talking about fear, that fear a lot right now.
Yeah, what I read a book by Gerald Jampolsky, who wrote Teach Only Love, and he bases his writings on A Course in Miracles, as does Marianne Williamson. And he wrote something that changed my life when I read it. He said, in every encounter you have with another human being, that person is either offering love to you or is in need of love from you. Now, most of the time, 99% of the time, it's the latter. People need love from you. But imagine looking at the world through such a lens and recognizing that every time someone treats you in an unloving way, you have the honor and the privilege of providing love to that person, love that they are in desperate need of. That changed everything for me. Now, when you consciously choose to be more loving, your first thought when meeting someone new changes from, what can I get from this person, to what can I give to this person? And if you'd like me to tell you a brief story about how I put that into practice, I'd be happy to share it.
Yes, I'd love that. Examples are great because people need to know, want to know, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, not long after I read that, you know, I was contemplating how to put that into action. And I walked into the gym I go to, and I saw a member I knew fairly well. I'll call him Bill. He was doing standing calf raises with his back to me. And just kind of impulsively, I wrapped my weight belt around his forehead from behind as a goofy way of saying hello. And he was not pleased. He was not pleased. He whipped around. And in so many words, most of which I can't say on the air, he told me he'd punch my face in if I ever did that again. And instead of reacting on the same level of consciousness, like, oh, yeah, take your best shot, you jerk, I thought, cool, here's my chance to see if this love stuff really works. And I honestly remember thinking those words, like, hey, this is great. I get to put this into action. So I immediately began radiating love from my heart and bathing Bill in it, and I also tried to apologize, but he just turned away. He was angry, and so I went to the locker room, and I came back out, went over to the pull-up bar. I dropped down just in time to see Bill walking towards me from the other side of the gym, and he said, I mean it, Phil. If you ever do that again, I'll drag you out to the parking lot and pummel you, and he spun around and stormed away, and this time I followed him, and I said, Bill, I'm very sorry. I had no idea you would be so upset. It won't happen again. And I continued saying, I'm sorry. It won't happen again. Finally, he turned around and said, oh, my sister used to do stuff like that to me, and I hated it. Well, bingo. He had nothing to do with me. I had triggered that childhood memory. And here's what happened in the next moment. It was astonishing. You know that dark cloud of negative energy that engulfs people who are angry, it's like a magician said abracadabra, and it instantly was like replacing a violent thunderstorm with sunny skies. I mean, all of that anger was gone. Tried to apologize. It was gone instantly. And I tried to apologize, and he cut me off. He said, don't worry about it. No big deal. And an hour later, we were both in the locker room ready to leave, and he said, so long. Have a good day, Phil. Now, if I had responded to Bill's anger in kind, not only would that confrontation have escalated out of control, but from that day forward, the tension would have been thick between us. And instead of looking forward to going to the gym every morning, I would have been dreading it. But instead, love, acting with love, healed the relationship. It may have even healed the pain that Bill had been carrying around since childhood. And that was the day I stopped looking at love as a choice and embraced it as a way of life.
What a fantastic story and example of this. Wow, that you had the presence of mind to stay with, but you felt something was going on. You felt, okay, there's got to be some wounding here, right? You felt something's more.
No, I didn't know what was behind his anger. I just knew that whatever it was, love can heal everything. But here's
love
the key. Here's the key, and I was working with my mother on this because she said every time I try to be loving to somebody, I run out of love and I get depleted and it makes me so frustrated. And I said, okay, here's the answer to that. Instead of trying to be loving from your own reservoir, your own resources.
Okay.
Instead of that, because you're going to run dry, instead of that, serve as a pure instrument of divine love by just letting divine love come through you into your heart, out to the other person. Because what happens then, and anyone who does body work and Reiki energy work will tell you this.
Yes.
I also
comes through
I also
you from source.
Right, because when it comes through you, that healing, loving energy, it not only heals the other person, it heals you as it comes through you, and it energizes you. I'm a massage therapist as well, and people would say, how can you do 2, 3, 4 massages in a row? It must be just exhausting. So no, it's energizing because that energy comes through me, heals and energizes me, and it goes into the other person. And body workers who say, I'm exhausted, I take on other people's energy, that's because they're doing it just from their own reservoir of energy instead of stepping back and serving as an instrument, a channel, a vessel of divine, healing, loving energy, and let it come through them and into the person they're working on.
Mm-hmm. Now, Phil, do you actually, we got a question in the chat, do you feel it coming through, like channel it is coming through you to them, that it's coming, you know, how do you do this a little
bit? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. You really step back from yourself. It's just get yourself out of the way and just say to the divine, say to life, to love, to God, whatever you wish to call it, let me use me. Thank you for using me as a pure instrument of your divine love. And just come through, have that energy come through into other people, and it's just a beautiful experience, and you can do it all the time. I like Alan Cohen's quote on about love and fear, which you referenced the article I wrote, which the Love or Fear article is adapted from Through God's Eyes. I have a chapter called Your Choice is Love or Fear. And he said, love is heaven. Love is heaven and fear is hell. Where you place your attention is where you live. I can assure you, love is a wonderful place to live, because when your time on earth is done, all that will matter is how much love is in your heart, and why wait one more minute to begin living that truth?
Boy, it really, you know, what I hear you saying too, it really has to do with us. It comes down to us, you know.
It's a choice.
What is our
yes.
response, right? It's a choice. What is our response going to be? And
well, that's why.
That's
yes.
Yes.
And that's why I titled the book Through God's Eyes, because when you try to look through God's eyes, to the extent that you can, because obviously you can't put yourself in God's eye, in God's position. However, to the extent that you can, when you look through God's eyes, then you really challenge yourself to see the world as God would see it, so that you can witness every moment unfolding with beauty, love, and perfection. And that is really the key. When you do that, when you challenge yourself to look through God's eyes, again, to the extent that you can, you'll gain a broader, big picture perspective. You'll move from, here's the key, you'll move from self-absorption to self-awareness, and you will be humbled and awed by the beauty and magnificence of life. That has been my experience. That's been the experience of others I've talked to. Too many people are only looking through their own eyes, they're self-absorbed, instead of stepping back and looking at the whole big picture through God's eyes, if you want to call it that, and becoming more self-aware and knowing and being able to empathize with other people, how they're going to respond to you, being aware of all that. You know, the key is when you can step back and look at your thoughts as if they're someone mm-hmm. else's, that's when you start mm-hmm. living consciously. That is when you live consciously. So ask yourself that. Can you look at your thoughts as if they are someone else's? And if that doesn't make sense to you, then you have some work to do.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a high, it's a higher level of empathy you're really talking about. It's right. It sounds like it's really about empathy.
Yes, that's one critical piece of it. But when you look through God's mm-hmm. eyes, the empathy is automatically there, because you're not just concerned about yourself. For example, it's an ongoing process, because all of this is ongoing learning, but mm-hmm. I try to look at every person as I do my daughter, because I have unconditional love for my daughter. Just thinking of her fills me with joy. And when I can think, okay, whoever crosses my path, I am going to look at them like I love them so fiercely, and I want to help them and serve them, and it is a joy. I want to give them a hug and say, I'm so glad you came into my life in this moment. When you have that attitude, wow, mm-hmm. life gets amazing. It really does. And you have to drop your own ego, get yourself out of the way, and it's a wonderful way to live and to be and to interact with other people.
Mm. It really, Tamara's putting in the chat, reminds me of see the light in others and treat them as if that is all you see, by Wayne Dyer. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, and let's just, for those that are tuning in now, we are talking with, I'm going to say author and spiritual practitioner, Phil Bolsta, and we're talking about his book, Through God's Eyes. And you can find out more information about the book by going to godseyes.com.
Now, no, it's God's
so
Eyes.
Helps...
God...
Book. Oh, sorry.
Let me
God's
interrupt.
Eyes book.
It's
okay,
God's
go ahead.
Eyes Book. godseyesbook.com. Yes. And by the way, let me say, too, anyone can email me at godseyes@me.com, M-E.com, and I'll send them a sample chapter from the book. Plus, I'll send a free ebook as well, The Logic of Living a Spiritual Life. Just email me at godseyes@me.com.
Okay, godseyes@me.com. And then for the book, it's godseyesbook.com.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Oh, and if somebody wants to just order it, okay. If somebody wants to order the book direct from Amazon, they can go to godseyesamazon.com.
Okay, God's eyes in. What do you feel, we have a question, helps people with empathy?
Well, again, this means getting out of your own skin and your own head and stepping back and looking. This is why every chapter in the book I go through, challenge yourself to look through God's eyes, because when you look through God's eyes, then you're not just concerned about your own needs. You're concerned about the world. You're concerned about other people. You're not only concerned about them, but you feel love for them, because when you're asking to serve as a pure instrument of divine love, then you are an ambassador of goodwill and loving energy to all who cross your path. When people say, I can't do it, I can't be loving to every person, it's because they're caught up in their own head and they're only depleting their own reservoirs. You have to surrender and serve as a pure instrument of divine will. Now, surrender is just another way of saying, aligning your will with divine will. And people say, okay, how do I do that? Well, here are three good ways to align your will with divine will. The first is meditation. And I'm sure many of the listeners here meditate, but there's a difference between meditating just to stay calm and meditating to until you have direct contact with the divine. And so that's important. Another is affirmations, which have changed my life tremendously. And affirmations are a quick, easy way to just change the way that you look at the world and you operate. And it's just a positive, affirmative statement that something is already so. I have a whole chapter in Through God's Eyes on affirmations because they help you reshape the way you look at the world. Training yourself to think more positive, loving thoughts will help you live a more positive, loving life. It's that simple, and it is absolutely effective. And in about 6 weeks, if you do affirmations two or three times a day, you will notice that you are looking at the world a little bit different, and it just gets better. And I personally have found that to be a wonderful way to reshape the way you look at the world. And the third way is to practice the presence of God, as Brother Lawrence wrote in his book, Practicing the Presence. And that is just carry on an ongoing dialogue with God throughout the day and just make God your best friend. Now, people say, well, how can I keep God in the forefront of my mind all the time? That's impossible. Well, when you fall in love with somebody, you're thinking of that person all throughout the day, even while you're immersed in work and other things. Just do the same thing with God. If you are really a lover of God, then it works. And if you're not, then meditate and do some work, inner work. And when you come to love God, the doorways fling open, and all of this becomes not only easier, it becomes matter of fact. It becomes natural.
Is it really, it sounds like it is really developing this part, with this connection, this relationship, and really cultivating it, I guess, is part of what I'm hearing you say.
Cultivating a relationship with God. It's like any relationship. To cultivate any relationship, you have to communicate. You have to be caring and loving. And when you communicate and start to practice the presence and feel the presence of God through meditation and affirmations and other spiritual practices you may have, the more you devote time and attention to that, the more that you are going to feel that connection. And there is nothing better than feeling that connection with the divine. I mean, everybody seeks happiness, but they look for it in external objects. But that is just delusionary, because whatever happiness you find in the material world is transitory. Finding true happiness and joy through connection, connecting to the divine by attuning yourself to the divine current, you may say, like a radio, there is nothing so peaceful. Peace is the first sign of God's presence. And when you are peaceful and loving and joyful, life completely and utterly changes, and it is not impossible to get there. It's you can. That's why I wrote Through God's Eyes, to put out a roadmap saying this is a comprehensive approach, step by step, to living a spiritual life and looking through God's eyes.
Ah, love that. And it's, you know, peace is the first sign, and it is a peace, that inner peace that's, I find, lasting no matter what's going on. There's a way to retain that or have that. It's somehow always in you, no matter what's going on. You know, even though whatever it looks like from the outside, there is that deep inner peace that comes from that God connection.
Yes. Yes, and that comes from surrender. Again, it all circles back to surrender, because if you don't surrender, then you're just basically trying to take shortcuts, and it doesn't work. When you surrender and you are attuned, when you have attunement with God, when your will is aligned with God, what you are tacitly agreeing to do is carrying out God's will by serving as a living expression of truth, beauty, and love. And it's just a beautiful way to live. And by the way, Michelle, I was going to mention, you know, thank you.
Yes.
I talked to you 9 years ago on this show for the book, my first book, 60 Seconds.
60 Seconds. Still have it.
Yeah. Yeah. And those stories are ways that other people connected, you know, finding peace and joy. There's not just one way to get to God. All rivers lead to the same ocean, and those stories show lots of rivers all leading to that ocean of peace and love and connection with the divine.
Yeah, well, 60 Seconds is also a wonderful book, you know, just obviously over the any page. Like I said, you are quite a prolific writer, and the way, and I like how you know, usually have interviews or, you know, stories from other people as well as your own, so people get a well-rounded view, like you said, how other people interpret this or how even other people interpret God. I mean, that talk about red flag, that word, you know, it's packs a wallet for some people.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, however, you said many rivers, you know, there's different ways, but people have to understand there is something more and more than just their little self. We're not doing it all alone. You know,
right. And I do have a lot of stories. I do have a lot of stories on my blog, which is my name, Phil Bolsta, at philbolsta.com, philbolsta. And as far as you said, the word God it's a loaded word for some people.
Yeah.
But many people view God as the source of all existence, many others as existence itself. And whether readers view God as a being, as a universal intelligence, a force, or any other type of form or formless entity, I just trust when they read the book that they substitute the name or term or reference for God that they're most comfortable with whenever they come across the word. And that's fine. They're in the book. I quote from all sorts of people and traditions. There are 1,900 quotes from other people in the book. And I alternate my commentary with inspirational quotes from others, because I do that because the commentary and quotes support, build upon, and they flow into each other to produce really a seamless reading experience. And quotes by others not only add depth and subtlety to these important ideas, but they lend credibility because they illustrate that the wisdom in this book is not something I just conjured up. It's not just, hey, this is the way I live. Every concept in this book has been validated by great minds through the ages. And I just want to make that clear that I am not the originator of all of these ideas. I collected and organized and presented them in a unique, comprehensive way that spoke to me. So I just thought, if somebody, an ordinary person, wants to live an extraordinary life, they can just do what I've done and go through these teachings that anybody can access. It's not one religion. It's not one spiritual path. It's really an overview of this is how to live a spiritual life.
And what a wonderful companion piece, you know, wonderful companion piece. Really, really, really is.
Yes. A lot of people say that they keep Through God's Eyes on their nightstand by their bed. They start the day with one page or two pages, or they end the day with it, because there's a lot to think about on every page. And it's really made a difference in the lives of many people. And that is what is so rewarding to me, because I thought, here, I've got this. I love my life. I love the way I look at life, and I want to share that. just like people want to share mm-hmm. what works for them. So I'm very glad that it's working for other people, and that was my intention.
Mm. Well, you're doing it, that's for sure. That is absolutely for sure. And I love that you say benefit. Anyone who's on a spiritual path or wants to start one, you know, it
yes.
also encompasses how to love, you know, learning how to love life, love themselves, love your life. And for people that are happy but want to be happy, or people that aren't so happy, how do I, you know, that's the question, you know, people ask over and over, how do I find happiness? How do I be happy? You know, and what I'm hearing you say, the big part, I think, is the surrendering, is the being able to surrender.
Yes, that is a big part of it. Yeah, because happiness, as I said before, and when you search for happiness in the, well, let me put it this way. Allowing events in the outer world to shape and define your inner world is an act of mm-hmm. self-delusion that always leads to suffering, because external security does not bring peace. Instead, peace brings internal security, which renders external security superfluous.
Beautiful. Peace-based internal security. That's a nugget there, Phil.
That is a key concept too. And I have a whole chapter in Through God's Eyes about the external security, because that is so important, as you mentioned.
Well, Phil, we're winding out here. I want to make sure everybody knows how to get in touch with you. And again, those of you that are just tuning in or listening through the archives, through the various podcast outlets, as well as iTunes, we've been speaking with Phil Bolsta, a spiritual practitioner, author, and we've been talking about his recent book, Through God's Eyes, which you can find out more information by going to godseyesbook.com, as well as emailing Phil at godseyes@me.com. And you said at God's, if they email you, they get an excerpt from the book as well.
I'll send him not only an entire chapter, but also a free ebook I wrote called The Logic of Living a Spiritual Life, because to me, living a spiritual life and trusting and surrendering to God is the only logical approach to life.
Boy, that's, yes, yes and yes. Oh, Phil, thank you so much. Everyone in the chat is coming and saying thank you so much for being on the program. And I want to thank you also, Phil. Thanks so much for taking the time to come and share with us. So appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle. Let's not wait 9 more years till the next time.
Yeah, exactly. Come back sooner. Come back sooner, definitely. We'll keep in touch. All right. Lots of love and light,
okay.
Phil. Take care.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. Again, that was Phil Bolsta. We were talking about Through God's Eyes. You can find out more information by going to godseyesbook.com. And also for the ebook, you want to get our excerpts of the book, you can go to godseyesatme.com. Really a phenomenal read. The foreword was done by Caroline Mize. And just some nuggets. And endorsed by Larry Dossey, who's a friend of the program. Love Larry. Some things you just like to have by your nightstand. Take a read. Anyway, lots of love and light to all of you. Thanks for being with me on this wonderful, wonderful, wacky Wisdom Wednesday with all of us in our awakening community. Love you all. And I'll see you here next Wednesday. And until then, continue to shine your light, share your insights. And, of course, keep awake, you lovelies.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.